Hi everyone, welcome today. Glad you're here. We got a little pro here. I'm gonna share this. Let me change cameras here so I can sit and show this with you here for a second here. I got to tell you the story about the tomatoes. We went to Greece. We went to Athens. We did a seminar in Athens. Barbara has always liked tomatoes. She used to grow tomatoes when she was young and eat them right off the vine. I never really cared for tomatoes. That's kind of the interesting thing about it. So we go to Greece and she gets all this feta cheese and all these spices and things, and she falls in love with this. So every year we have to buy all these tomatoes. I learned to grow them. So we started growing tomatoes, and I've gotten really good at growing tomatoes. Funny part is I don't really care about tomatoes that much. So I have three plants. They start in late February. And I've run them through because I just really enjoy doing that. This is the harvest that's coming off today, just to kind of give you an idea. The actual harvest count on those three plants, which are all 8 feet tall plus, they get to 8 feet, which is how high the racks are, and then they fall over because they're carrying tomatoes. So 8 feet is where they're at, and that's where they're going to stay. The official harvest count is at 390. Right now, that's not including these four. Today, I would imagine we're going to get 70 to 100 off. So every month, I'm going to give you the harvest count. We are going for 1,000 tomatoes. I got to tell you, my neighbors are sick of tomatoes. And I've even called a food bank. So we have plenty of place for it. So anyway, I got some people coming over today. That are going to help take some tomatoes, hopefully. And like I said, they're about every week we're bringing 60 to 100 tomatoes off these plants, and they're absolutely gorgeous tomatoes. The way that they're coming off here is just absolutely amazing. So anyway, I just wanted to share that one with you. I will give you a harvest count every month when we come back. Next month we may have a little surprise for you. We may have a surprise visitor here live. Well, that's all I'm going to say about it. I've got so many fun things to tell you about here anyway. So anyway, I just wanted to share the tomatoes with you. Absolutely beautiful. Isn't that gorgeous color? They look really good against my shirt, don't they? Okay. Anyway, I have actually learned to eat tomatoes, by the way. I don't completely ignore it because every once in a while I just take one like she used to off the vine and just eat it, and I'm learning to enjoy it. Isn't that funny? But I really enjoy growing them. And all my neighbors know me as the tomato person because I'm walking around with these bags of tomatoes, and they'll open their doors if they see me coming, and they'll say, "No, I don't need any more right now. I still got the 60 you brought me last week." So anyway, I love doing that. So wanted to share that with you here. We got a lot going on today. I am going to share a few things with you as we come in. So let me kind of share a couple of other pieces with you that's going on here at Espavo. We're going through a lot of changes right now. We just finished a seminar, a 2-day seminar called Future Human. I have to tell you, I loved that seminar. That to me was a way, especially the second day, was a way to really stretch out and plant some seeds about things that the group say are coming. And it was really powerful. We'll be doing 2-day events on the not the global light. Sorry, we're in the global light. Got to get my stuff straight. The EOS, which is the Earth Overview Series, that's where we just give you overviews. It was one day that was 2 hours. We expanded it to 2 full days now because we need the time, and we also wanted to really get into depth with some of this stuff. We're charging the same. We did not raise the price. We're trying to give you a little bit more during these difficult times. So anyway, that one was very powerful. And I'm also going to be coming up, not next month, but probably the month after that, we're actually going to do an Earth overview. In other words, what is happening with planet Earth according to the group? What's the new updates? We're also going to do one on finances. They don't want to do it right now, but they will tell you everything has to do with the levels of fear. That is exactly what's triggering everything. And yes, the Russian aggression in Ukraine is causing major problems throughout the globe. Russia is involved with a lot of things. They provide a lot of things. They're a huge country that delivers a lot of different things to different global markets throughout the globe. And I thought it was kind of interesting because about, I guess it was about 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, No, it was even further than that because it was after, it was before Barb died. But they basically were talking about the fact that it was really going to be helpful if we start localizing our sources of everything. And now we can see what's going on. And this was actually before the original supply chain breakdown from COVID-19, which is still going on. But all these things together, the group was talking about, they were kind of giving us a little bit of warning about some things that are going on. They're still very big on that, to buy locally as much as possible. Okay, certain things you can't get locally, obviously, but if there are things that you can, that's a great way to do it. And there's a lot of things that are coming as a result of all of that as well. Okay, a couple of other things. Tomorrow's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there and to all you mothers and other people and children and everything else. Hope you have a wonderful Father's Day. It's a great one for me as well. And also tomorrow is June 19th, our second Independence Day, if you will, here in the United States. It's an official holiday finally. So anyway, that has to do with the... Anyway, there's a lot of stories behind it, but some very horrible things happened here in the United States, and we're trying to kind of make reparations for it, and it's absolutely wonderful. I'm thrilled to see this happen. So Juneteenth is the big day for all of us, and Juneteenth, of course, is June 19th, which is tomorrow. So we hope everybody has a wonderful day with that. I've got a few things going on, too, that I want to share with you here. I'm very excited about a few things I have been working on. So let me take you, first of all, to the front page of the website. You see that it changes, and I have to tell you, the person who does most of the art on the website is the same person who does these wonderful promo videos. I just showed you one. There's some incredible work in there. So I just have to tell you, Elena Ira, you do awesome work. She lives in Greece, along with our webmaster, Nick Pneumaticos. Pneumaticos. I have to get it right. But anyway, they just an incredible part of the team. So I was just so impressed with that promo video. We will show it again at the end of the seminar. Actually, just before we go live with the final channel, I'll show it to you one more time if you didn't see it. But she does the website. She does the incredible artwork on it. So thank you so much. I want to take you down a little bit. Yeah, we got some funny stuff. Yeah, he's got a little fuzz on his face here, but that's gone. Here we are. There's a new book out, folks. It's brand new as of this morning. It is not available yet, but it is here, and it's Crossing the Veil. This actually says that it will deliver it tomorrow, but if you buy it, it won't deliver it until July 5th, because July 4th is the release date of this. There's two editions. There is the Kindle edition, which is what you're looking at here. The price of the Kindle edition is a Tesla number, $3.33. The price of the paperback is a Tesla number at $9.99. That's pretty cheap for a paperback, but I have to tell you, I am so thrilled. I've been working on this for over a year. This was a live seminar that we did. I'll have to look at the dates again to find out exactly when it was, but it was a live seminar that we did. Obviously, it was prompted a lot by Barbara's passing and bringing up all the things that we taught all those years, never made it into books, having to do with transition teams. Here it is. Finally made it. It's 155 pages. I am extremely proud of it. I did the cover. I did the artwork. I did the layout. I did most of everything except the editing. Oh my God, the editing this thing went through was incredible. And I mean that. There is it four or five? I think there's five editors on this book. And I gave them all credit because they all did little pieces of it that other people couldn't. And it's very difficult to take something out of a spoken word and put it into text that people can actually read. And not only read, but read well. You have to attract people's attention when they're reading something, and it has to be worded well. I do it every month with the Beacons of Light. And it's not just me. We have a professional editor that goes through this every month with me. After I rearrange some things and make sure that it's clarified, I send it to her. She goes through everything, sends it back to me. I check her stuff, and we send it out. And it's Veronique is in Florida, and she just does an incredible job with this as well. So today's a wonderful day to kind of give thanks to everybody that's touched it. Veronique is actually one of the editors on the book. Very difficult to take that stuff. That's actually what I call dirty editing. And Gail Harris did the first. She's one of our producers here on the show. One of these days, we'll get her in front of the camera because she's a very powerful lady you'd love to hear from. But nonetheless, she did the first, what I call the dirty edit, which is where you actually take it from the spoken word because it was a live seminar. She took it from that and actually turned it into actual words and readable words and did just an absolutely marvelous job from it. And then after that, some of our famous editors got a hold of it, including Veronique and including Sandy Sedgbear. Sandy Sedgbear, as many of you know from the Virtual Life broadcast, has been here for very many years. We're hoping to get Sandy live next month. We'll see. I wasn't going to say that, but there it is. We're hoping to get her live here in the studio next month. We can always bring her in through Skype and through Zoom and all the other systems that we have, but I just wanted to let you know that. Okay, a couple other things going on before I go into channel and the first one. I wanted to, you know, we've been talking a lot about the sun, about solar cycle, the solar cycle 25, which started a couple years ago. There was a lot of concern because the solar cycles and the amount of CMEs, coronal mass ejections, in other words, explosions on the sun, were starting to diminish. Now that's normal. Absolutely normal. They go down for a while. Every 12 years, you have a solar cycle. So basically, they were going down and down and down, getting, the group said this was dangerously low this year, last solar cycle. And solar cycle 25 needed to be big, at least bigger than they were expecting. Well, it is. It made it. Here, I can show you this. This is actually the spaceweather.com, incredible site put on by NASA. And what they do here is, this is actually the, I didn't make my cursor visible. Let me go over here really quick and do that for you so you can see what I'm talking about. Just takes a second. There we go. Okay, now you can see the chart right down here. Might even be able to make it a little bit bigger for you. I think I can. There we go. And you can see the chart about what's going on, the different solar cycles, 1980, 1991, 2002. And so forth. This was the one that was dangerously low. This blue line is what they were expecting. That would have been catastrophic for planet Earth. We need these solar cycles, according to the group. And I have to tell you, nobody else is saying that. Not that I have heard. But anyway, the red lines are what we're actually getting. And it looks like it's actually going to beat the last solar cycle. So that is a huge piece. The group is very excited about that because it does. It has to do with neutrinos. I don't know much about it, even though one of our board members is actually a person who worked with neutrinos back in the Argonne laboratories and done things. I still know very little about neutrinos, except that they are tiny, 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 super tiny particles. And we're not even sure what neutrinos do. But the group says neutrinos will help to charge the planet and that they actually work with that. So we need that charge. We're really thrilled that we're getting some X-class solar flares. You're going to hear about X-class solar flares. Most of the time, they're going to pull up their, you know, what happens in a news station. You pull up the, what do we have on X-class solar flares? And they pull up all this information. Well, all the information is going to be scary. It's always scary stuff. Oh, you can lose your computers. You can have all your internet go down. You can have your power knocked out. You can have all the, relax. That's what I'm telling you. Relax. Celebrate the solar flares. You know, they're going to be awesome. Is it possible to have a solar flare directly at us that can cause problems? Yes. But it's actually very small. And when you and the challenge about it is when these guys go to their computers and they pull this up time and time again, they're putting it out in front of millions of creators, aren't they? And we end up creating things that we don't need to create. So let's celebrate these solar flares. They're good stuff. Okay, one other thing, I'm going to take you back to the same page. But this time I want to take you over here. This is actually on June 6th, because you can pull up any date on this page that you want. I would like you to go to June 7th. I actually made a special one about this so that you can see this, because the group was very excited about this. We have some things that are taking place on Venus. You can see the little lines right here. This is all three Venus. And you can see these lines of things that are going on. They called it a cloud discontinuity. Now, what does that actually mean? It means they don't know what it is what it means. You've got this huge cloud that's a line like that. It's about 5,000 miles long, and it is circling Venus five times every day. Five times every day. That is creating things in Venus's atmosphere. Does Venus have an atmosphere? No, not according to that, but there's some fascinating things that are taking place here the group wants us to watch. So let me explain from my perspective of what the group tells me about this, and then we'll compare it to what science is saying here having to do with this. Here, let's go ahead and make this a little bit smaller. There we go. Because there's some fascinating things on this. This is spaceweather.com. This is June 7th, just recently, if you want to look that up. So I'll tell you what the group said in the very beginning of this work in Remember, my very first book, which just was re-released in a 2021 edition. In that book, they talk about the three sisters, and they talk about the beginning of planet Earth. And the fact that we didn't even start on planet Earth, there's many games throughout the universe. But having to do with these three sisters, we actually inhabited Mars. We were there for a time, and then Mars was not able to support us. So something happened at that point, and the three sisters came together and shared carbon dioxide. It really sounds strange still to even say that. Venus is 67 million miles away. How do you share a cloud of gas? I don't know, but that's what the group told us happened. Because of that extra carbon dioxide that was gathered on planet Earth, she was able to create an atmosphere that supported life, and we inhabited Earth. Now, what that means is that these three sisters have a communication and have a connection, and they're able to help each other. Are they connected to the other ones in not only our solar system, but our galaxy, the universe, etc.? Well, everyone has connections. Everyone is connected, and everything is connected. Yet some things are in closer families, are we not? I'm connected to each of you, and yet I'm connected a little closer to my sons, aren't I? Because of family, same thing. You're in a family here with three sisters that are trying to do whatever they can to help Earth change, to challenge, to create a solution to our problems with our planet, with too much carbon dioxide in the air. Keep in mind, in the beginning, they had to give us carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is actually good. It's just out of balance is all it is. We breathe in air and breathe out carbon dioxide. Much of the rest of the world, trees, plants, anything of that nature, breathes in carbon dioxide and breathes out oxygen, including all the algae and the green algae in the ocean. All that stuff creates that oxygen for us by transferring it, the same way we transfer things into carbon dioxide. We needed the carbon dioxide in the beginning just to create the atmosphere. So it was a really big deal, according to the group, and something may be happening again. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Venus and Mars could take away some of that carbon dioxide that they gave us in the beginning? I'm thrilled to see potentials, at least, for solving really big problems. And I will also tell you that for the first time, not the first time, but they've mentioned it many times yesterday and the day before in the Earth Overview series, where we did the whole thing about future humans. They talked about some of our parental races And they said that one of our parental races is watching over us like crazy. Can't interfere much, but has interceded at specific times. They said we were almost taken over a short time ago, and they interceded. That didn't quite work. There are things that are taking place that are beyond our understanding and beyond our connection. And we don't really need to get involved with it all. But to me, it was hopeful. To me, I was so thrilled to be able to give some really good news about at least things are in motion. And that was very powerful for me. So I wanted to share that with you. Again, this is taken from spaceweather.com. Go take a look at the awesome site. You can sign up, not here, but you can sign up through here to get actual emails and notifications every time we have an X-class solar flare or something takes place on the planet having to do with those things. Okay, I think we got it all. There's one other piece that flew my way that the group, I'm sitting here watching the news sometimes or reading things or whatever it is, and the group taps me on the shoulder and says, pay attention. So I watch it, and later it turns out to be something really big. Well, I'm trying to bring some of those to you before they become big. Here it is. This is the one from this week. There is a tiny plastic worm that can help us catch up with our planet. This is from USA Today, and it is from today, I believe. Let's see. No, I take it back. That's March 6th. So March 6th, you'll see a very interesting worm. This worm eats plastic. And furthermore, it seems to prefer styrofoam. It's a soft plastic. It's easy to digest. But it eats worms. Now, we've known about these worms for a long time. We did not know that they eat plastic. These worms are used a lot to bring protein into things like dog food, cat food, things of that nature. So these worms have been around, and we've raised them. So they've been around for a long time. They eat plastic. And that's an incredible possibility for cleaning up some of the mess that we have made on this planet. Just shows us that we have safeguards in place if we can slow down enough to let the planet balance, to let things happen. That's what we're hoping to do. And I have to say, from my perspective, seeing people move, seeing all this incredible move. Yes, a lot of this is caused by the gas problem with Russia and not getting any gas from Russia and have those gas prices going crazy. I think it's absolutely appropriate that we all pay a little price to do that. And yet it's very difficult for people. We all have to suffer. We all have to go through some of those things to be able to do it. But there's also good news with this. And one of the beautiful things that's happening as a result of all this is that electric cars are hitting the market like crazy. Are we there yet? No, I actually have really good hopes, and I wasn't prepared to show any of this, but I actually have really good hopes and potentials for something that is being developed. Elon Musk actually has the lead on this one at the moment, but other people are developing it as well. And those are diamond batteries. We've learned to make diamonds a long time ago. You may notice that De Beers is engraving diamonds with serial numbers so that they can tell the difference between the fake ones and the real ones. But nonetheless, they're not interested in making diamonds for your rings. They're not interested in that. There's just so many industrial uses of diamonds that this is really working well. And when you use a diamond in a battery, that battery is very expensive right now. They're actually going to be coming up with these, hopefully, in 2023, next year. But the batteries themselves are going to be probably in the $1 million each plus because of what they're made from. But they last for 28,000 years without a charge. So, with potentials like that, how long do you think it's going to make to bring something like that to market? And when it's in market, obviously at the ridiculous price, it's going to have to be charged in the beginning. It will only be used for important things like implanting things in people's hearts, things of that nature that they never want to change a battery with. But the more they make, the better they're going to get. They will end up in cars. We have potentials that are just astronomical here. So we're going to keep our eye on those potentials because a lot of things are coming to fruition very quickly. And I just wanted to share that with you before I go into the first channel today. We've had a lot of bad news on this planet. We're still getting a lot of very difficult, challenging news. Ridiculous stuff. Sometimes corruption now is right out in the open and people will watch it or they won't. They'll see it or they won't. No problem. We understand everybody's in a different world today. But at the same time, we've got some wonderful things that are coming in to correct balances. And we're going to try and bring you as many of those as possible every month that we come together. So thanks for being with us here. I will take my tomatoes off and go into channel here right now to kind of bring that through. But thanks for being with us here today. I'm thrilled to bring you some good news segments here. I'm going to do the first channel now. We're going to step into this, and then we'll do the last channel after we hear from Meg and from Allison today. A spa, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Greetings, dear ones. The world is moving at a new pace. And you're right there, changing every part of it. The magic is right in front of you. And we welcome you this day. Because you're making a huge difference. I am M. And I join you with great pride today to bring you a balance for what you have been seeing lately in your news everywhere is the male energy peeking out. Feminine energy does not rise in the same way. It does not work through force. And you're starting to see that take place. It will turn. And you'll actually see that in the forefront of your energies and your world. So celebrate it as it comes in. Be a part of it. Know that it's time for a new balance to take place. Welcome home. So right now, let's create a time bubble. We're going to open the healing circle, but before we do, we're going to create a time bubble to put that healing circle inside of. What that does is create the opportunities for people to come at a later time and add their energy to the time bubble so that it all combines together in the now moment, which is really the only one there is anyway. So take a breath, everyone, and release all the negativity that you've got going on. Know that your world is coming together in a very magical way. We'd like to talk about one thing important before we open the healing circle for everyone to come in. And we'd like to bring one aspect that's going on. Yes, you have wars on your planet. But in particular, you have a challenge coming up that has to do with your wheat and the products that are being held up. You see, Ukraine feeds a large portion of the world, as does Russia. And those particular areas are now cut off from many parts of the world. And although there's a lot of shuffling to try and cover the vacancies and the missing information, there will be a lot of people go hungry. And as typically is, it will probably be generally the lower class people having to do with the lower economies. Very sad to even hear that. And yet, that works on a regular basis. It's kind of how things happen on planet Earth. So with that, to begin with, let's envision potential resolutions to this problem, whatever that is. And let's don't try to solve all the problems in one move. Let's just work on this one. Let's release all this grain that is being stored and can't get out of Ukraine right now because of the war. Let's focus on that together. Take a deep breath. And as you release it, see the light, see the energy, see the freeing of the restrictions that's holding that back. Excellent. And now take a deep breath and let it go. Good. Now, before we step in ourselves, there's one other issue that we'd like to bring up. It is coming up before you time and time and time again. It has to do with what you call mental illness. Well, by your own definition, dear ones, every single person on planet Earth has some form of mental illness. And in reality, it is only one of the many imperfections, of course, that humans have to carry. And yet, there are times it would be very helpful to know and to be aware of different forms of mental illness that are taking place. Because generally, most people are completely unaware of it on the planet at this point, except for those that deal with it. And of course, the challenge is that many times, especially in the United States, when people reach that level, they go and act out. They'll pick up a gun if it's available, and they'll go shoot people just because. You can have a lot to do with that. First of all, by looking for it, by speaking out when you see something, anything. It's fine for people to say, no, it's okay. But to bring it to people's attention is going to be important. Now, does that mean that you have to be understood about who has mental illness and what a mental illness is? Is that up to you to diagnose that? No, of course not. All we're asking you to do is to note anything that is out of normal order. Because it does show up. You can see it. And people that live around this person or people that interact with this person can usually see a buildup if they're watching. It's hard to watch. But we'll ask all of you, please open your eyes. See those places where even your own mental illness may affect others around you. What is the typical mental illness? Well, it runs everything from schizophrenia over here to depression over here to anxiety to all sorts of different levels of those. So the reality is, everyone's ill on planet Earth. You all have a terminal condition. You're in a physical body. But we have answers. And in reality, you're not in danger. So take a breath, everyone. And let's send open love to all mental illnesses so that we may help to understand and open the possibilities of massive healing on planet Earth. So take a deep breath and center that light right now. Excellent. Blink your eyes open and come back into the world for a moment. Now we'll ask any of you that need healing in your torus. Since last month, you've carried around all these bumps and bruises. These beautiful straight lines that make up your torus now have little kinks in them that you've picked up by dealing with planet Earth and other humans. So take a breath. Step into the healing circle. Allow us to heal you. Open your hearts and receive all the light that you can. And for those of you who did not step into the circle, open your hearts and beam light into it. Fill it full of
all the energy that you hold and let them convert that energy into a healing form. Take a breath and release. Beautiful. Well done, dear ones. And now if you have someone that you care about, that you'd like to put into there, obviously it has much more effect if you have their permission or their awareness that you're going to put them in there. But even if not, it will help you to do it. So take a breath. And with that, put someone into this time bubble, into this incredible healing circle. And once again, open your heart. Open every aspect of who you are in this moment. And beam light and love into that circle. Good. Feel it bouncing around, all around inside there, so that every aspect, everything in that whole time bubble is now filled with light and glowing. Beautiful. Well done, dear ones, well done. I am the one that works with you around the table, the big table, the tavern of light. It is my job to make sure that no one gets too serious. Because when humans get too serious, you start thinking too much instead of feeling. So right now, feel all that you can and open your heart. Take every aspect of it in. And with that, let us bring the time bubble to a close. It can be opened by anyone at any moment to add their energy to what we've just added. But for now, let us move on. The energy around this table is huge. Bask in it for a moment, and we will return. It is with the greatest of honor that I ask you to treat each other with respect. Nurture one another at every opportunity and play well together as you create this beautiful new game. Well done, dear ones. I am M, and I love you dearly. Aspavo.
Hello, everybody. It's Alison Chester Lambert. I'm an astrologer, and I'm here with your astrology forecast for the couple of weeks ahead, 2 to 3 weeks ahead. Here in the UK, I am recording in a heat wave, which is astonishing. We don't get these very often. If you've ever been to the UK, you'll know that mainly we get light rain. So it's very nice, but it's also a little bit hot. Anyway, it's lovely to see you guys. So what is the sky telling us? Before I go into the actual reading of the astrology, what I want to do is show you two maps of the sky. One is at the just after sunrise, and one is just after sunset. Now, it doesn't really matter where in the Northern Hemisphere you are, because you will see a similar sky anyway, although your perspective is a little different. What I'm saying roughly covers all of us. And Steve is going to show you this, because if you look at the first one for the sunset sky. So the sun has dropped down the horizon. Now, what you're looking at on that map, or map of the planets, you're looking at a line across the middle, and that is the horizon. That's where the sky at the top meets the earth below. Now, the sun, which is the circle with the dot, has gone down below the horizon, and it's going to travel along the bottom of the chart and then rise on the other side up above the horizon in the morning. Now, what you'll notice is that as the sun has set, all of those planets are in what we call a hemisphere, a half sphere. So all of those planets are under on the other side of the Earth, right? So when they are on the other side of the Earth, there like that, they are more difficult to access, and there is things can become not as easy to understand. We haven't got the guidance of the planets, their rays on shining down on us, and they're all making that difficult journey through the Duat, or the underworld, as the Egyptians would tell us. What happens with the next chart, the sunrise chart, is that you will see the sun has gone above that horizon, that all-important horizon, but preceding that, because everything goes from the left to the right, preceding that, the planets have all gone into the sky, right? So one after another, they've all risen and are above you in the sky. So in the morning, right, just after the sunrise, or actually before the sunrise, in the morning, we have a much busier sky, many more planets. And what this means is those planets and their ability to shine their rays on you is going to be much greater in the early hours of the morning before sunrise. And this means that your dream life is likely to be much more active around this, just before the sunrise, just after the sunrise. It's going to be much more lucid, much clearer than at night. Because when these things are above us, these planets or the sun is above that horizon, it is much clearer. It's like we're listening to a radio which has been tuned in perfectly and the volume is up loud. When the planets are on the other side of the Earth or below the horizon, it's more muffled. So I wanted to tell you that first. I thought that was probably something which you guys who like dream stuff would be very interested in. It's worthwhile having a journal, for instance, next to the side of the bed, because those dreams in the early hours of the morning are going to be quite important. And so as our biorhythms, therefore, also because of this planetary emphasis on one hemisphere or half sphere of the sky, our biorhythms are affected also. So you may find that you are doing excitable clarity, know where everything is, and then going into, oof, I don't know now, I'm not sure. You might find that your life is sort of going like that. Or it could be going into active and passive phases, active, passive. We're all affected by these planets differently. So what I'm trying to do is generalize, but for a generality, what I've just said is quite accurate. Okay, so that's good for that. And now let's look at the next few days. So, right, I'm recording this on the 16th of June. And at this time, on this day, the sky is actually quite morose. There's a feeling of anxiety, almost apprehension, maybe. It's actually quite a sober responsibility concern thing that the sky is picking up on, and it certainly has its sort of, when I say woundedness, I mean the wounds of Chiron and in Greek myth. I mean that these things can be unfair, or if only, you know, that this is not right, this kind of feeling. Anyway, as we clear this couple of days, we are getting into, again, more sober responsibility. This seems to be the theme as into the next 2 or 3 weeks. And it actually is a time when we can balance activity with hard work. That isn't always possible. We can feel very active and not be able to concentrate on the work, or we can have all of this work here, such as, you know, a new garden plan or something physical at work, and not really have the wherewithal to get on with it. So to get the activity need and to get the ability It all in one is great. So get on with it, whatever it is. We also have something new and original affecting relationships. So relationships can take a new turn. They can be invigorated. Something unusual can pop up into them. And that's not a bad thing. That's great. If you want to sort of bring this energy ahead of that, you decide to do something unusual and then you're fitting in with the planets. It works that way too, which is why we have astrology. Then we get to the 18th, 19th, 20th. Excuse me for reading, but I have to because I'll forget all these dates otherwise. These planets are busy, guys. So then we get to the 18th, 19th, 20th when we get Venus square Saturn. Always a bit of a difficult one, this. It's something that we want is hard to attain. Something is a struggle. Something that we know we admire or want or want to achieve becomes bound up with all kinds of problems and difficulties. Now, it's only for those 2 or 3 days, but if you find that it is affecting you, plod steadily. Check everything, plod steadily, accept the held-ups, the hold-ups and the kickbacks and all the rest of it. Accept them, just try to work methodically forward and you'll probably get through at that. We also at that point have a pining and a yearning and a longing to get something fixed, that and then it's more difficult to get it fixed. So it's anyway. Then moving to the 21st, right, of June, you all know what this is. This is the summer solstice. This is the time when the sun is at its highest in the sky. And if you imagine the globe with a line across it, the equator, it's when, if we have the sun over here, it's when the northern hemisphere is tilted to the sun and the southern hemisphere is tilted away. So what you have is you have a summer solstice in the northern hemisphere and then you have the winter solstice in the southern hemisphere. There we go. A time when everything is creaking out at its extremity. It's also a time when, again, we get this sensitivity, responsibility, concern, because the sun moves into Cancer. Cancer is a feminine sign, and it means that we want to gather in the family, to bring in the brood. And it's a time for family. It's a time for remembrance if they're not here, and it's also a time for memories. So welcome the sun into the sign of Cancer. It's probably, I guess, around this time that most countries have their summer holidays for kids being off. And I always think that's really interesting that the children are off when the sun moves into Cancer and everybody's spending time together. Cancer is a sign of families. Anyway, again, doing unusual, original things with parents and children, well starred for the 23rd, right the way through to the 27th. Good time. So that's good for the holidays. And we have on the, just checking this date here, so that I should have put my glasses on, the 26th, 27th, 28th of June. We have Mars at that point boosting Eris. Now, you all know about Eris. That's the planet of discord, the one that causes all the trouble, that throws in a bomb every now and again, and everything gets exposed and it makes everything difficult and it all the feathers hit the fan. When Mars goes conjunct Eris, right, oh my goodness, Mars is her warrior brother and sister working together on war. Eek. Now, of course, I was thinking then when I said that of causing trouble and disturbances in our daily lives. But of course, I'm sorry instantly I said it because of the terrible situation in Ukraine. And my heart and sympathy goes out to the Ukrainian people. And I'm hoping that on this occasion, these two guys can exacerbate something which will end in a war, not make war worse. But let's just all pray for that. Then we get around the 28th of the 2nd. Watch for this one, because I think it's about having rows or difficult words in relating. It only lasts for a day. See what happens. There's not a lot you can do about it if you're affected by it, I'm afraid. You just expect the round thing. Okay, that's what that meant. And that's fine. We then go into a period going into the 4th of July, where we've got Mars square Pluto. So great opportunities for evolution, personal growth, to grow into what we must become. Big moves expected at that point, but usually in the underworld, so that something shifts and changes, and then you have to shift and change. The new moon is at that point in Cancer, and that again around the 28th, 29th, depending where you live. And a very, very sloppy, sensitive, emotional time for family. Really a broody one, this. And so get your little puppy photographs out and all the rest of it. This really is a time for family. Organise something for family, because you might as well. The energy is good for you. Okay, that I think is enough from me. I hope that's useful for the next couple of weeks or so. I have really enjoyed talking to you, and I will be in the next broadcast, I think. In the meantime, if you want a reading with me, I'd absolutely love you to get in contact with me. So just Google Alison Chester Lambert, Chester-Lambert. I'm an astrologer, and I'd love to hear from you. And we will talk on Skype. It has to be Skype with me, because that fits my astrology program. Lovely. Thank you. Have a great time. Nice to see you. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Allison. It's always a joy to hear from her. She's fun. Anyway, thanks so much for being a part of that. We're going to hear from Meg here in just a second and bring that. And I do apologize. I think I put the pictures up at the wrong time. I thought she was going to start with sunrise. She started with sunset. So I may have reversed those pictures when I put them up. I think I got them fixed. Anyway, thanks for doing that. And thanks for doing it. I know this is very difficult for her, because we moved the global light to kind of the middle of the month, and she doesn't have a full month to work with sometimes, but she does an awesome job with it. Thanks so much, Allison. Let's now hear from Meg. Meg wants to talk about money. You ready? I'm ready. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. So nice to be here with you on the Global Light broadcast for July. Let's jump right in. Today, what I want to talk about in my segment is our programming and how we can't outwill our subconscious programming. Have you ever noticed if there's something that you want to change, something that's important to you, and you go about trying to take the action steps, sometimes it just doesn't work out? We sabotage ourselves. It's like dieting. It's like deciding just you're going to drop everything, change overnight, and it doesn't work, does it? It feels restrictive. It feels negative. It feels the opposite of everything we want to be feeling. We want to be feeling inspired. We want it to feel positive. We want these changes because they're going to bring us what? Usually joy, happiness, independence, freedom, things that make us feel good. So why does it feel so bad on the road to get there? This is why. We have programming around it, and we're really going to get into some of these layers today. And we're going to talk about a topic that's really important. We're going to talk about money, but we'll get there in a minute. So what I want to talk about first is the understanding that we all have programming. Every single one of us on this planet has programming. Two, we are innocent to it. It was not your fault. Three, you have choice now if you want it to still run your life or not. this programming is no longer occurring every day. But if you watched my segment last month, I dropped a lot of information in it about how by the age of 35, neuroscience is showing today that we are basically a set of memorized behaviors, which means we're not conscious most of our day, which means 95% of our day is being run by what? Our programming. So you have to get honest about your negative beliefs without any judgment, right? We all have programming. We all come by it quite innocently. But now, when we become consciously aware that we don't have the things we want, or we're not where we want to be, and there's more we want to be living, experiencing, doing, contributing, then we have to begin to understand the mechanics of our own subconscious mind, because it is, without a doubt, our most powerful ally. And when we learn to harness that, when we learn to work with that, reprogram that, instruct that, then our life changes and becomes those changes that we want to be experiencing. So how does this work? Let's break this down. Up until the age of 7, everything is going in as programming. And what I mean by that is, at 7, we begin to develop what we call in hypnotherapy the critical factor. And the critical factor is that inner chatterbox, that voice inside our head that says, be careful, don't go here, not sure I like them, don't trust this, this might be okay, this might not be okay. That chatterbox that keeps talking, that we have to quiet in meditation, that we have to relax. This is online at 7. And it matures between 7 and 11. It starts to begin to explain why teenagers, everything becomes a negotiation, because that critical factor is the analyzer. It's not just the chatterbox. It is analyzing data. It is constantly analyzing what you are seeing in the world, taking it in and comparing it against your programming. Why? Because your programming is designed to keep you safe. Where does it come from? It comes from experiences that we had when we were young and didn't have any resources for. We weren't capable at 5 to say, this circumstance that I'm in right now is making me feel unsafe. We just say, I am unsafe. And our subconscious mind does two things. It generalizes. So whatever that circumstance was, for example, you were in a car accident with your family when you were 5. No one was seriously hurt, but it was very scary, right? So what happens? Subconscious mind says, danger. Cars are dangerous. When we're in cars, we're unsafe. Compound later in life, every time you're in a car, you have this unexplained anxiety that just feels like you're not comfortable in a car, or you're not comfortable on a plane because you experienced turbulence once. Subconscious mind generalizes and says, to keep you safe, ooh, all planes are dangerous. All cars are dangerous. So we have to understand that this becomes a belief that runs our life. So let's say later in your future, you decide that you're going to do a job that requires you to travel, requires you to speak to people, requires you to be in cars and on trains and on planes. And every time you're about to travel, you have this anxiety, and it's unexplainable. It doesn't feel conscious to you. You're not aware of it. It's just deep down. Well, that's programming, and you can't outwill that, can you? You can maybe take things to help relax you. You can help pharmaceutically or herbally. You can try to focus your mind, and that takes a lot of willpower. But do you actually get to the place of, I'm really enjoying this. How lucky am I? This is so much fun. I'm chatting with people and getting to meet people, and I love traveling to new places. No, you don't. You get through it. But it's hard, and it's sweaty, and it's gritty, and when you get off that plane, you want to kiss the ground. This is programming. You can't outwill that. Why? Because your mind is designed to keep you safe. So we have to really understand how that works. So let's just say that right now, the world, let's talk about money. Let's say that we can justify our programming, And what I mean by that is we have to be, it's so nuanced. We have to become detectives of ourselves, of our own programming. Why? Because if we don't, we tend to say things like, well, it's inflation. My boss wasn't able to give me a raise. The job and promotion that I was really hoping for, I didn't get. Ooh, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not good enough for it. Maybe it's because all the men get it. Maybe we start to, if we're not careful, justify our programming because it's so unconscious. Remember, 95% of our day, we are living from our programming without even realizing it. And when did that programming start? Before the age of 7? And then compounded throughout our life? How did it become programming? We didn't have an analyzer. We didn't have resources yet. We hadn't matured enough to learn to take in data and associate it against our programming, against our subconscious mind. So everyone has some form of experience that made them scared or uncertain or self-judgmental. Why? Because before the age of 7, remember, our authority figures, our parents, our caregivers, our teachers, everything they told us, our survival depended on it, didn't it? We required, our well-being required our caregivers to provide everything for us. So we are designed and wired to take all of that in as programming to keep us safe. But not all of us had happy childhoods. Not all of us had positive experiences. Not all of us had perfect lives because there's no such thing. And here's the thing. Even if you didn't have major trauma in your past, keep in mind, subconscious mind generalizes. Its job is to keep you alive. Its job is to keep you safe. So what do you think it's going to hold on to? What do you think it's going to keep near the surface? The happy memories or the incidences that you were scared or you were feeling unloved or you were feeling invisible or hurt? There was a heightened emotional experience, right? And the subconscious mind will prioritize the dominant of two beliefs, the dominant of all beliefs. So what we hold near the surface, which is what we project out and what we compare all our intake data against, are the ones that had the most negative impact on us. That, 30, 40 years later, is how we're seeing the world, how we're projecting our opinions out onto the world and attracting back that which is in alignment to it. So you got to get in there and amend that, right? We have to let go of the judgment. We have to, at some point, take responsibility as a positive step and say, you know what? I don't want to live this way anymore. I know I deserve happiness. I know I deserve health. I know I deserve affluence. Why is my body breaking down? Why am I not making enough money? Why am I always feeling worried and stressed? Now, if we can get past the it's the news, it's the government, it's the societal corruption, it's the, and instead turn that lens around and say, but I know and truly believe that I can live well in spite of that. What do I need to do to figure it out? This, right here, this is it. So if I were to ask you, if I were to say, let's talk about money. What are your beliefs around money? If you are not making enough money, if you're not feeling affluent enough in your life, then there is some negative programming around money. You might not be consciously aware of it. Consciously, your first response to me might be, I think money's fabulous and I want more of it. But do you? Because if you did and there was nothing in the way, you'd have that. So yes, the world right now is becoming more expensive. I've never heard in the last 15 years that I've lived in the U.S., all of a sudden the news is reporting about don't move out from home, stay home, move back home, commute with gas. A lot of stuff is being projected out about how to manage because inflation rates are going to go up again. And let's stay out of politics with this about whose fault it is. Let's just live well in spite of it. So how do you do that? If your answer to me was super positive, then great. Your conscious mind believes that to be true. But what's your programming? Because there is programming. Now, here's where I want you to stay with me, because boy, oh boy, when we mix spiritual purpose and money together, we get a whole lot of confusion and complication in the mix, don't we? Sometimes people back in the recesses of their mind think that spiritual work should be free. We've talked about that a lot. Or that we just sort of lay back and say the universe is going to take care of me, but I don't have to do anything about it. That's not really working out, is it? It's a lovely thought. It's a beautiful belief. And here's the nuance. I believe you can have a thriving business and life without having to work crazy hard for it. But I do not believe in having no practicality whatsoever, because we're human beings, we're running businesses, we're providing services. It requires action. It requires taking care of those businesses. So we don't just sit back passively in life and say, ah, it'll come to me. And if it doesn't, well, it wasn't meant to be. I'm not on board with that. First of all, I like way too much control. So I like to get in there and look at all the business aspects. But if you're working really hard and it's not producing, or you're sabotaging yourself every time you're about to get successful, something breaks down, something happens, somebody else needs you, somebody else has an accident, you need to go take care of someone else, that's worth looking at. Because this is what I really want you to hear. This is the big piece for today. If we really believe that we are capable and deserving, and it's not coming in, and we're working for it, then you've got programming around affluence that is conflicting with your values. And nobody really talks about that. So here's what I mean by that. If money doesn't line up with your values, your beliefs will activate your programming. And that will sabotage you at every turn to make sure that you never compromise your values. So what does that look like in practical terms? What does that mean? Let me give you an example. And I want you to try this right now. I want you to think about this as I explain this. If I ask you, what are your negative beliefs about money? Because again, if we're not bringing in what we want to be bringing in and it's in conflict with our values, then there's some negative belief around money. So just let the first thing come into your mind. Don't try to think it through with your conscious mind, because the subconscious mind will kick it out if you just allow it. So right now, I just want you to close your eyes for 1 second and take a deep breath in. And a big, long, full and complete exhale out. Do that one more time. Just feel your body relaxing and shifting into parasympathetic drive. Just letting go of your thought for a minute. And one more. And exhale. And I say to you, what are your negative beliefs about money? Money makes people what? Finish that sentence. Money makes people. All right. So what was your answer? Let's use selfish as an example. Money makes people selfish. They don't care about anyone else. They just take care of themselves. The rich get richer. It makes people selfish. Ooh, ooh. That tells me immediately, I know, that you have a core value of connection, of community, of everyone doing well. You have a vision of a world where we all thrive and you contribute to that. Okay, so we've got a core value of community, but we've got a belief that money can make people really selfish. So what happens every time you're about to become successful with your business? Opportunities are lining up, you're working, people love your ideas, things are going well, and just as you're about to take the next step, ooh, Ooh, that programming says, if we become successful, we become selfish, and that is going to compromise our core value. We can't let that happen. That's not who we are. And then everything starts to fall apart. You get that? You understand what's happening in your subconscious mind with your negative belief about it that came from wherever, came from somewhere. You knew someone, you had an experience, you saw someone, your father believed that, your mom told you stories of growing up. It doesn't matter. It came from programming. We could find that if we needed to know. But the what really matters is to understand what your belief is about money and how it conflicts with your core value. So let's take another example. Money makes people slaves. Ooh, they just have to work all the time, 9 to 5. How many times do we hear that? Europe, you work to live. You don't live to work. And everywhere else in North America, we live to work. Well, if we take that on as a belief, that's programming. That's running our mind. All that, we got to work hard, got to keep going. We work, we live to work. We just keep working. So what is that? Oh, that's like slavery. Money makes people slaves. Okay, then I know you have a core value of freedom, of wanting to be able to enjoy your life as you make your money. And as you contribute to society, you want to have independence with that. Maybe you have an entrepreneurial mind, but you never quite get that business off the ground, right? You're always working for someone else, always making someone else more money. So what happens? You keep working, right? 95%. We are just a set of memorized behaviors, and we don't seem to get off the wheel, but we have all these ideas and we never seem to get them going. And every time we start to get close and things work out, what happens? That belief, that programming, that belief activates our programming. Programming says money makes people slaves. Don't do it. So what happens? Sabotage. You're going to become a slave if you create this business that you have to run all the time. You're going to be working even more than you are right now. So you have to understand what your negative belief is about money. And then you have to get in there and reprogram that. So what would that reprogramming look like? Well, for someone who believed that money made people slaves, it would be about creating new suggestions about how money gives you more freedom and independence and ability to live your life and enjoy your life and teach others how to do the same, help others do the same. You understand, we have to start changing those old beliefs. Same with the earlier example, money makes people selfish. So what would that reprogramming look like? Well, it would look like it gives people more resources to do more good with it, to be more philanthropic with it. So money makes me capable, hear that word, money makes me capable of doing more for other people. And we have to make that the new positive dominant belief. So we have to understand, first of all, what our negative beliefs are. And they are not what we consciously think we are. Think they are. What happens is we think we understand, but we're speaking from our logic, and our logic is in our conscious mind, and that is not necessarily what our programming is. So how do we access that programming? Well, hypnotherapy is my choice. That is my chosen field, where we start to really pull back the layers of you and understand what your core values are. And when we understand what your core values are and we see what you're capable of, right, we start to bring strategies to it. That's when we start to collapse the old beliefs, because these beliefs, right, these beliefs, positive beliefs, make us, they drive our capabilities. So it becomes easier. Remember that feeling? It's supposed to feel good. It's supposed to feel easy. Losing weight doesn't have to be hard. Changing our money structure doesn't have to be hard, as long as we understand what our programming is. Our capabilities come right on board. But if we have negative beliefs, then they really limit our capabilities. But if we have positive beliefs, our capabilities open right up. Are you starting to put this together? Starting to make sense where if we could just sort of put the world on a shelf for a minute and turn that camera around and say, okay, but if this is my experience and I believe I can influence my own experience and you can, then what am I missing? Why does this keep happening? What's in the way here? And we can apply this to health. We can apply this, obviously, to money and to well-being and to feelings of happiness. We apply this to our own joy, our feelings of joy versus fear and depression and anxiety and all the labels that are going up and up and up and up. I gave you a lot of stats last month, especially with our young people. So you matter. What you believe influences the trajectory of all of us. And if you have core values of a world where we all thrive, and these changes that are occurring right now and what's playing out right now influencing that to go in a more positive direction, then it behooves you to live your life as powerfully and as successfully and as filled with health and joy and independence and affluence without guilt. So let's go a little bit further. What happens if you've done a lot of work, including hypnotherapy, and we just, lots of things have changed, but we didn't quite collapse it. I worked with a client one time. Let me tell you a story, because this is where past life gets really interesting and is phenomenal to facilitate as well. Past life is not something we jump into just as entertainment or, you know, to just sort of poke around and see. It's a really powerful tool for healing when it's the right fit. Hear those words, key, when it's the right fit. So I had worked with a client who had changed so much in her life and was doing really well, but she came back to me after 6 or 8 sessions and said, you know, there's one thing that just is so sticky and I just haven't figured it out. And she told me, it's like I'm terrified of being wealthy. Hear those words, right? It's like I'm terrified of being wealthy and successful because everyone will find out I'm just a fraud. I'm just as scared as everyone else is, but I put on a good face and I'm afraid that if I become too successful, they're going to see behind that mask. And she said, and something else is weird too. Every time I go to my favorite restaurant, I almost have a panic attack when I'm there and I have no idea why. So that doesn't sound like they're connected. And yet it all came out together at the same time. So they are connected. So after doing some work, we went into a past life and we gave the subconscious mind the instruction to go to the origin, the lifetime where the origin of this pattern playing out is. And she saw herself in the early 1900s as a man who had basically come from nothing, hid it, had lied and cheated his way into high society, made up this whole background that wasn't true, had made a good solid fortune and was about to make an even bigger fortune investing in railway, was becoming part, one of the key members of building railways at that time. And there was an accident with one of the trains and a lot of people got hurt and they covered it up. And in hypnotherapy, we look for things like that because at the end of that lifetime, the way that death occurred, there's what we call a throwing action. And a throwing action is like it's a judgment, it's a statement. And in that lifetime, that throwing action was that there was terrible guilt that some of these people were injured, that it was his fault, and that he had lied and cheated his way to it. So the throwing action was, I am never, ever going to do this way again. I'm never going to become successful based on lies and cover-ups. So we had to do a lot of forgiveness work around that. We had to really see that this was an experience and that in this current lifetime, all of the work that she was doing was already sort of karmically balancing that. You know, she worked in a field where she was very entrepreneurial. She was a spiritual healer. She had a successful business, but every time she tried to take it to the next level, it just kept being sabotaged. And there was opportunities to work with big investors, and she just froze every time. So we started to connect the dots and see, there is a absolute parallel here that your programming, right? This belief that if you get involved with a larger group, they're going to see right through you. They're going to see that you're not who you say you are. And then people can seriously get hurt. That activated that programming from that lifetime, not this one. So we had to go back and see that. The origin of this pattern isn't always from programming when we're young. It can be something we came in with that we are still balancing out. But balancing it out may look like sabotage to us, and we have no conscious understanding. Why does this keep happening in my life? And what she also saw is that one of the passengers that was injured, that they had an article written about telling when they broke that story back in that lifetime in the 1900s, was the owner of this restaurant that she kept going to. She said, I love their food. I don't know what it is. I keep being drawn to go in, but I have this panic attack. It's almost like a panic attack every time I'm there. That guilt was being activated. I want to go in. I want to support this business because I'm trying to pay retribution for what I felt responsible for. So we had to do a lot of forgiveness work around that. We had to collapse that and see that in this lifetime, so much of that good, it has already taken care of that. We had to cut some ties from that life and then recognize that going forward, supporting this restaurant, being there, telling your friends about it, making it as successful as possible, and also blooming into your business and taking those opportunities, recognizing that you're not a fraud. You are exactly who you say you are, and that you've worked really hard for it and you deserve it and it shouldn't be this hard, collapses that sabotage. And I'm really happy to say that now she's doing extremely well and her business has already moved to the next level, and she doesn't have that experience anymore, that feeling of terror, of I'm terrified to be wealthy because everyone will figure out that I'm a fraud, because we found the origin and were able to heal it. We were able to collapse it. So our subconscious minds are powerful, right? If there's one thing I want you to understand and get that, it's that they are our most powerful ally. But we have to learn how to navigate what we're feeling. And if we just blame it on the world and the circumstances and the politics, we're really missing the key pieces, aren't we? Because it's personal. It's our experience. And if we believe, and all of us do, all of us in this community do, that we influence our environment and we can take responsibility for our own environment, then we need to understand what beliefs we have that are subconscious, right? Unconscious, that come from early childhood or even previous lifetimes, that are now being activated and sabotaging us in order to keep us safe. We have to understand that. And that has nothing to do with what's going on in the world. That's how we navigate through this world and make sure that we're affluent and make sure that we're healthy and make sure that we are balanced so that we can help everyone else navigate it too. Does that make sense? That's the big takeaway piece. When we learn how to identify our negative beliefs and not try to outwill them, you can't outwill them. They're designed to keep you safe, but they're based on negative beliefs that you need to find and you need to collapse and reprogram. When we really understand that, we become powerful, independent, capable, and the road ahead is full steam ahead. And that not only makes your life a powerful existence for your own experience and your contribution, but it also makes you a powerful influencer of the collective future that we are creating, because we are all so connected to one another. We are constantly giving off these micro impressions that we are picking up on with each other, and we pipeline that out. So when you work out your stuff and live, look at the people who are the big influencers. And it's not about fame, all right? It's not about that. It's about living so effectively that people can't take their eyes off you. They want to know what you know, and you become able to share that. That influences our collective trajectory, because they go home and they share that with their family and with their kids. And more people start looking for the positive, not the negative. We turn our cameras away from the world for a second and become thrivers in spite of what they're saying. And that, to me, is the most powerful thing we can do going forward. So with that, I will say thank you. I will turn it back to you in the studio. Wish you a wonderful rest of your show. It is always such an honor to be here, and I am so, so, so grateful to Steve. I'm grateful to the team. I'm grateful to all of you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for allowing me to visit you in your homes and contribute. It means the world to me, and I'll see you next month. Bye for now.
Thanks, Meg. Incredible stuff, huh? Great stories to hear about stuff like that. Both Meg and Allison do private sessions. Obviously, Meg's a clinical hypnotherapist, and Allison is a psychological astrologer and on BBC quite a bit. Anyway, thanks for being with us here today. It was incredible. I'm going to be back with a final channel from the group. I did mention that we had some editors on my new book. Meg is one of the editors, along with Gail Harris, along with Veronique Kaiser, and also Sandra Sedgbear. They worked with it really well. So anyway, that is out. I'm very pleased with it to be able to bring that up. I'm going to leave this up for just a second while I bring the group in. A spav, everybody. Greetings, dear ones. I am Observer, and I join you this day with great pride. Well, you have moved your planet already. You've moved the outcome of many things that were already to take place, and more is happening every day. It's fascinating to watch as we bring you things, we give you ideas, we give you concepts and so forth, but all we're really doing is holding things up for you. For you are the conscious creators to take those ideas, bring them into your being, and work with them to be able to manifest them, to be able to bring them into your life in some way, to express that love. It's a magical time. It truly is. We know there's many difficulties on planet Earth, and yet these are the times when the human heart really rises. You see more stories of heroism. You're going to see more stories of things that take place that bring out the true light of planet Earth. And it's a beautiful time to be there. So with that, dear ones, know that each and every one of you have a piece of this. There are many things that are going to take place in the next few years. They are critical moves that will affect all that is, not just planet Earth. Because you see, you're all connected. Not just you on Earth. Everything is connected. And when you are able to actually use and feel that connection, and to be able to work with it on a regular basis, there is nothing that you cannot do.
And that time is here now. What is taking place is, with all the challenges on planet Earth, and there are more to come, the reality is when you step up, you create something unique. And you can create where you live. You can create the environment that you work with every day. And we invite you to do exactly that. These are times for you to create your world around you. There are many times when you create your sacred space. Maybe you have a room in your house that you'd like to do your meditations in. Or maybe you have a very sacred space in your office where you can just close the door and be by yourself for a few moments. When you do that, look around. Oh, yes. Meg just told you about your base belief systems. You can actually see many of them in your environment. That's true. Take a look. Look at the things that are on your desk. Look at the pictures that are on your wall. Look at the statements that you have said, this is me. This is who I am. And then dare to change. Dare to move other things into those spaces. Dare to bring new thoughts in. Dare to manifest from a higher position even than you have before. The time is now, dear ones. The magic that you have created is starting to manifest over and over again. Now, on top of that, you're getting help. We've mentioned this before, but it's starting to happen more and more. You're on a free choice planet, so people cannot just come to planet Earth and say, oh, I'm going to help. I'm going to go in and fix things around. That doesn't work on a free choice planet and is simply not possible to do. But there are beings that were there in the beginning of planet Earth. You had six parental races that actually formed the physical beings that you use today. Of those six parental races, only four of them are left. The others are gone for the time being. Although they will return, they will reincarnate in unison, as you tend to do. You tend to reincarnate in groups, sometimes to even accomplish things that you may not even be aware of consciously. Well, that's taking place. And there is major focus on one of those processes on planet Earth. So with all these beings looking, trying to figure out how they can help, and being able to actually reach into your world sometimes, not to change things, not to alter your path, but to put incentives in different places, to give you ideas, to open doors and let you feel the wind of the new energy. Those are the things that we do from this side of the veil. We bring you opportunities, and we tell you, you have had more opportunities in recent times than you ever had before. And that you can thank for the difficult times. The difficult times are the times when humans come alive. They see something and they move past it. One heart at a time, but also in a unison. You're about to reach such a level of awakening on planet Earth. And it's interesting because you may be on one side of a political party or political argument or another side or another. There's so many different pieces of that. It's almost impossible to talk about. But when you take the next step up, none of that matters. None of that is even important when you look at the larger picture of it. Because all those things are self-correcting. Oh, yes, yeah, sometimes they take a few years. Sometimes 100 years or so. But yet they are. That is humanity. You balance, you correct, you challenge, and you balance the energies of all that is. That's perfect. You have help, dear ones. Be aware of it. Know that you're safer than you think, and that these are the times for you to speak your heart. Not that you have all the answers. Hopefully you're still searching like everyone else and still open for possibilities. But it's also time for your heart to be heard. For you've carried in something from home that only you could carry. It's a beautiful time to be here. And with that, we leave you for a short time. Come back in about a month or so to bring you the next level of the game, the next part that you can all create together. But know that when you hold hands, dear ones, you create exponentially. It happens at incredible paces. And all it takes is a connection that you already have. You simply need to acknowledge it and to grow it, to strengthen that connection, to know that you're not alone on this planet ever. And quite honestly, we wish you'd stop trying so hard to be alone. We're here, around you all the time. We hold you when you can't hold yourself. We help you remember when you can't remember. And yet, we don't actually direct you. That's your job. Our job is simply to be here to help you remember who you really are and why you came to Earth. These are grand times, dear ones, and you are very grand beings. We sit before you with the greatest of honor, for your place has been reserved. Welcome home. So with the greatest of honor, we now leave you. Know that you're never with it, never that far from us, for we're right over your shoulders. So with the greatest of honor, we ask you to treat each other with respect, nurture one another at every opportunity, and play well together as you now step into this whole next level of the game. Well done, dear ones. I am Observer. And I do like to watch. Espavo.
Thanks to everybody for being a part of this here today. It's been an incredible energy. We hope you enjoyed it. We sure did. We'll be back next month in just a few days. We'll be starting the next empowerment stream. Very excited about the empowerment stream. It is working really well. The next part of the empowerment stream is all about creating that overlight situation. We talk more about the overlight. The overlight's actually the connection that everybody has that very few people are aware of. How can you actually overlight someone? It's something that's only been available for spirit up to this point. We'll start that very shortly. In the meantime, and we'll play a little promo video as soon as we finish here. But in the meantime, I do want to thank everybody. It's obviously an incredible effort. Thanks for all the light workers for their help in this. Meg Adamson, you do an incredible job, girl. I'm so proud of you and proud of the hypnotherapy work that you're doing. Incredible. Take a look at her work. Also, Allison Chester Lambert, of course, you heard from her today. She's the one that also she figured out what was going to hit the fan. I think these were feathers that she used. That's an interesting possibility. She's on BBC a lot, and she does incredible work. You can actually do a session with Allison as well. AllisonChesterLambert.com. Also, thanks so much for Ellen Era. As I mentioned before, she does all the graphics for us here at Espavo. She has a magical touch. Thanks so much, Elena. And Nick Pevmatikos. Nick is our webmaster. He takes care of all the deals, and he takes care of all the challenges when we're ready to go live and something's not working. He's the guy that's right there on top of it all. So thanks so much. Of course, you have Kathy Moran is the one who answers all your help desk tickets. And she just does an incredible job of making people feel comfortable. So thanks, Kathy, for being a part of the team and a part of the family. And we have Gail as well. Gail Harris is the producer of the Virtual Light Broadcast and also the Global Light Broadcast. She has been with us for quite some time and really did quite a lot of helping us get started with this next book. So I'll leave that for you there. Thanks so much. We're so proud of the work that you've all come together. Gail Harris and Meg Adamson are both editors of this book. Thank you so much for being a part of it today, and thanks so much for being a part of our lives. We can really create magical things when we work together. Welcome home, everybody. Have a great month. Espavo.